Are you filled with fear, doubt, worry about the future of our country? Do you feel the urgency to act before it's too late? If yes, then this podcast is for you. It's time for us all to confront the critical issues threatening our nation's fabric, our democracy itself, irregardless of our political stance. If you're ready to face reality, handle the tough questions, and find real solutions, then here's your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux.
Welcome to the Terrified Nation podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux. This is a special edition after Super Tuesday to really think about, can we save our nation? And what is it that we have resources and responsibility for? For me, the answer is yes, we can save the United States of America from falling into an authoritarian rut or going the way of socialism. There is something in between, despite what mainstream media shares with us. And this show is where we explore alternatives to being afraid. So I do like to start each show with a question for today. And today's question is, how did Super Tuesday change your life? For most of us, nothing has changed. Yet, if you read the news or watch the cable news channels, you might think that battle lines are being drawn up for the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious rematch from 2020. And like any good wrestling match, it is drama for the sake of entertainment, not governance. Now, if you live in one of the 15 states or American Samoa that held a primary yesterday, did you vote? If so, thank you. Until I was a candidate for local office myself, I didn't understand the importance of primaries. And that's for local and federal elections. It was 2003 when I received my calling, if you will, to get involved in politics with an aspiration to help us, the American people, have a healthier political climate. Up until that time, I thought my duty as a citizen was to vote, which I did in every presidential election. I ignored the primaries and local elections unless they coincided with the big show every 4 years. And in 2003, I decided to dive into the deep end of the political pool and run for office myself. Now, once I was a candidate, I realized that I had to be the first or second choice in the primary to get to the general election ballot. Now, I lived in California at the time, and I was a declined to state voter. And that meant that I was not registered with a political party. So here was my first face-to-face with political reality. As an independent, I had no party support, which meant that I had to build one from scratch. The Republicans were more interested in recruiting me, since two of the other three candidates were registered Democrats, and they had served in other local elected positions. And the open seat that we were competing for had been held by a Democrat, and the district was largely Democrats with a smattering of Republicans and other declined to state voters. The Republicans really had written off this district as unwinnable. But if I was willing, well, I wasn't. I wanted to remain independent. So in pulling the voter list from the county office and sorting who had voted in the last two primary elections, the average number of voters who participated in the presidential year primary for local office was around 11,000 people. So an outright win in the primary would take about 5,500 votes. Now, the district was home to around 225,000 people. So this means 5,500 people would decide or could decide who was representing this district of 225,000. Okay, my target was set. And as I set up my campaign, I had friends and colleagues who joined the team, who donated money, who ran fundraisers, and more. In the 6 months of campaigning, I was forever changed for the better by the people of Fresno. It was during this campaign that I realized there were literally thousands of people who were volunteering and working to make the community a better place. There were visionary leaders in business who had formed a good governance alliance with big goals for the community to end influence and corruption. There were unions who were hosting picnics and really working for their members to get the best quality of life that they could. Churches were hosting interfaith gatherings, all weaving this community together. And all of this had been going on while I was busy focusing on my own life, running two businesses, and being married. Now, in California, local nonpartisan races are open to all voters, even in closed, and they are in all closed primary states. Now, open primary states allow voters to select a party ballot in the primary, regardless of their voter registration affiliation. So the first time I voted in a primary, I voted for myself. And yes, it felt weird, but also empowering. I came in third of the four candidates, garnering 11.5% of the vote and forcing a runoff. I had hoped to break 20%, fully expecting to lose. Of course, no one is allowed to say that in advance of the election, but we knew. My campaign party was very subdued, and the press did not come to interview me. I would spend the next 6 months as a pariah in the community. My phone calls went unreturned, jobs were unobtainable, and I cashed out in a retirement account to avoid bankruptcy. My now husband was not happy with me. I share this story with you about a primary that actually mattered in the lives of the people of Fresno. The two professional politicians went on to compete in the general election, and the winner oversaw the drastic budget cuts that happened during the Great Recession. Now, during my campaign, I also saw how important primary elections are, especially for local races. And I also became aware of the importance of the national census and how the districts for representation are established. I became aware of redistricting, or more often these days, gerrymandering, and strategic voting, where people can change their party registration to have an outsized voice in the primary elections. Now, I moved to Oregon after that. And in 2016, I registered as a Republican so I could vote in the GOP primary. It was obvious that Hillary would be the Democratic nominee, even with strong support for Bernie Sanders in Oregon. And in Oregon, the primaries are closed, meaning that as an independent, I couldn't vote in the primary as an independent for federal offices. So I strategically became a Republican for a few months. I had hoped to influence the eventual GOP nomination, but it was all over before the June primary in Oregon. Anyone who lives in a state where their primary has not happened yet here in 2024 should consider the impact that they could have on their congressional, Senate, state legislature, and yes, local elections. Most local races are only a few thousand votes, so each vote matters a lot. Now, in 2024, I live in Maryland, and it's a reliably Democratic district. Like Oregon, Maryland has closed primaries, meaning independents are prevented from voting in taxpayer-funded primaries. There are efforts underway across the country to open primaries to all voters, but that is not the reality for the 2024 election. Most state and federal elections are decided in the primary, and because of this, I am registered in Maryland as a Democrat because I want to be sure that my vote in the primary elections counts. In the general election, the Democratic candidates will win for House and Senate seats. And of course, Maryland will vote for Biden in November. This all comes around to say we can only change ourselves and we can only control our own behavior. What is the situation in your state? What primary races are going to determine the winner in the general election? If you live in a reliably Democratic district in a closed primary state, you have the choice to register as a Democrat to have an outsized voice in who represents you. The same is true if you live in a reliably Republican district, because 95% of congressional seats are considered safe seats. That means that one party or the other has gerrymandered districts to ensure their party wins. And the redistricting or gerrymandering happens as a result of the census that we do every 10 years in this country. This means that primaries are really, really important. And while the mainstream media covers the presidential primary results, we need to look farther down the ballot to vote for people who are better aligned with our values, whose actions will have a more direct impact on our lives. This is my reframe on Super Tuesday. Primaries are more than a professional wrestling match to vanquish our opponent. Stay informed, yes. Let outrage and fear be sidelined by focusing on what you can do, and do it, like voting in your state primary and being strategic about it. In closing today's show, I'd like to thank you, the listeners, for giving a damn about our nation. We may be a terrified nation today, but we can do better. We can save the USA. Join me next time.
So that's it for today's episode of Terrified Nation. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you listen and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week who posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $15,000 private VIP day with Debbie Lynn Molyneux herself. Be sure to head on over to TerrifiedNationPodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Debbie Lynn's gift and join us on the next episode.